Okay, if you would open up, we're in the book of Esther, and I want you to come back to Esther chapter 3. We'll get through 7 tonight. What I want to do is I want to take you to an overview of what we've covered, but not just an overview. I want to show you some principles of God that are at work, and we're going to be using the Proverbs for this. So we'll be kind of back and forth. And you'll see it. I'm hoping you'll see it very plain. That here's what the Lord says on wisdom, about His wisdom, what you keep yourself out of and why. And you'll see it working in the book of Esther as we go through. There's a fellow in chapter 3. His name is Haman. Haman was raised by King Ahasuerus. He was raised to second in the kingdom over all the provinces. And being that, he just thought he was just pretty good stuff. And when King Ahasuerus raised him to this high position, he came walking out. People bowed down before him, except Mordecai. And it made him mad. From that moment, he gave a plot. Chapter 3, verse 8. Then Haman said to King Ahasuerus, "There is a certain people scattered and dispersed among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom. Their laws are different from those of all other people, and they do not observe the king's laws, so it is not in the king's interest to let them remain." Oh, what does Haman think? There's a people. Who are they? They're these Jews. And so we're taking, Persia is a huge, huge place. All over this kingdom, these different provinces. And now we got a plot. It's not good for us to have these people in here. And so they're scattered, he says here in verse 8, they're all over. Verse 9, he says, "If it is pleasing to the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those who carry out the king's business to put into the king's treasuries." Oh, what's the plot? Kill the Jews, and you know what we're going to pay? How would you like to be in this kingdom and say, you know what, if we kill a Jew, we can make money off of this? It's a losing proposition for the Jews. It's a winning proposition, Haman thinks, for them. And so King Ahasuerus gives Haman his signet ring so he can do the documents and the things that go into law. He can use the king's signet ring for that. Well, knowing that, I want you to come over, keep your place marked. We'll come back into Esther. I want you to come over to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. And this is God's order. This is what God has set in place in the spiritual world, and no one's going to change it. No one has ever changed it, and they're not going to. Verse 7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." This is the principle. Now, we read that a lot. But what should we be heeding when we read a verse like that, verses? What should we be heeding? You don't think it matters what you give out to other people? You don't think it matters what attitude you have? You don't think it matters how you treat someone? You don't think it matters to be deceptive? We're going to see this principle work out through the Proverbs. Haman has already set in order, and what caused it was one thing. He had an issue with Mordecai. Mordecai the Jew wouldn't bow down to me. So, hey, king, let's do this. We got a people that are dispersed all over our nation. They're not good people. They have their own laws. They're aware of those. And you know, it's not good to have them among us. So, let's set a decree. Kill them. Let's get rid of them. God is not mocked. Whatever you sow is coming back to you. Well, knowing that, come back to Esther, and we're going to really go over to Proverbs 11 here if you want to go ahead and open your Bible there. Queen Esther finds out. She finds out the plot from Mordecai. Because you know what she realized? Mordecai got her all the information. Mordecai got her the law that was passed by Haman. And so now that Mordecai knows, he gets the message to Queen Esther. Because who is Queen Esther? She's a Jew. And we're going to eliminate the Jews. Guess who we got to eliminate? King Ahasuerus isn't even aware of what he's just done, what he's let Haman talk him into. Well, come over to Proverbs 11. And it'd be good if I got there too, wouldn't it? Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse 4. Riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will be smooth, will smooth his way, but the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. Guess what never profits? Riches. Never profits. We're going to pay these people off to kill. Riches never profits. What is the only thing that will deliver? Righteousness. There again, the principle of reaping and sowing, it is so important to practice what is right, not be taken in. Look at verse 8 and 9 here in Proverbs 11. The righteous is delivered from trouble, but the wicked takes his place. What's the principle? What is the value of righteousness? Delivers you from trouble? And guess what? Whatever the trouble is, guess who's going to take your place if you're righteous? The wicked. Look at verse 9. With his mouth, the godless man destroys his neighbor. But through knowledge, the righteous will be delivered. I mean, look at how the Lord operates. That's why the Proverbs is so great. Learning how God operates through things. You know, when a godless man, he starts destroying. What has Haman done to King Ahasuerus? He's a godless man. And so we can know through this right here, there's only one way to be delivered. When things get tough, when things come pouring down on you, righteousness is a value. God's not mocked. He's aware of everything, the intentions of everyone. Well, so did Naaman open his mouth to destroy? Come back to Esther. Keep Proverbs marked. because we're going to be jumping back over here in a moment. Come over to Esther chapter 4. Look at verse 16. So when Mordecai, see, he's learned the plot. Verse 16. This is what Esther told Mordecai. Go, assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa, that's the capital, and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night and day. I and my maidens also will fast in the same way. And thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. See, Mordecai had told Queen Esther, we need to stop this. You're the only one that can stop it. So Esther, we need to fast. I'm going to get all my maidens, we're going to fast, and we need the Jews fasting. See, they know something that fasting is what helps you focus. Nothing else matters, that you need to be focused completely on one thing. What's that? Even though I didn't use the name here. Yeah, we need to focus on God. And Queen Esther has got to a point, she says, it's not according to law for me just to go in before the king. But you know what? If I perish, I perish. She knew this was so important. And that their fasting and focused on the spiritual things were so intent. I may have to die on this, but I've got to do it for the sake of the people. Look at chapter 5. Look at verse 6. They had a banquet, okay? That's what we're talking about. They had a banquet, and then Esther comes to the king. Esther said, if it pleases the king, may the king and Haman come this day to the banquet that I prepared for him. Then the king said, bring Haman quickly, that we may do as Esther desires. So the king and Haman came to the banquet which Esther had prepared. As they drank the wine at the banquet, the king said to Esther, what is your petition? For it shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even behalf of the kingdom it shall be done. Listen. King Ahasuerus loves Esther. To make that kind of a promise. Look at verse 7. And I'd started back in verse 4. Sorry about that. Now, verse 7. So Esther replied, my petition and my request is, if I found favor in the sight of the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and do what I request, may the king and Haman come to the banquet which I will prepare for them, and tomorrow I will do as the king says. So what are we going to do? She didn't make any requests except what? Come to the banquet. You and Haman. Very wise lady. Look at verse 9. Then Haman went out that day glad and pleased of heart. But when Haman saw Mordecai in the king's gate, and that he did not stand up or tremble before him, Haman was filled with anger against Mordecai. Haman controlled himself, however, went to his house and sent for his friends and his wife, Zeresh. Is Haman happy when he learns he's invited? I get to go be at the banquet of the queen. One lowly fellow Jewish slave by the name of Mordecai. And how does Haman respond? Angry. And that word angry there is just a really a rage anger within. A really rage. Now let me tell you something. When you read this, did Haman control himself? I want to tell you something. There are capabilities with man to do things. You can control yourself. But that doesn't mean it's from God. Well, that's a whole different level, a whole different power that's coming in. So he goes home and he calls for his friends. I wonder what kind of friends this guy's going to have. They not good godly friends. And his wife. Hey, we gotta talk about this. You know, James chapter 1, would somebody read verse 19 and 20 out loud for us, please? James chapter 1. Let's look some more at this for just a moment. James 1 verses 19 and 20. Read it good and loud. What's the principle? Think before you speak. That's right. That's right. Yeah, you know, he went right to the king and he plotted to destroy the Jews. And now he sees Haman, he sees Mordecai, and what does he feel with? He's filled with anger. Where will the anger of man never take you? To righteousness, to God's righteousness. People get angry, God's out the door. Simply because our anger is what we're going to operate off of. Our anger is going to be what leads us. And God is not even sought in that. And so, you never achieve anything God wants in a situation when you're angry. Well, knowing that, you ever think of a person, I can think of several in my life, that you were angry at? And you're having a great day, and all of a sudden they come walking in or come walking around you when you're having this really good day. What happens to you? Yeah. Your attitude changes, doesn't it? You got that right. And all of a sudden, what are they here for? I can't believe they come. Boy, if they walk over here and say something to me, I think I might slap them. Yeah, I mean, there's all these things going through. You know what? You're not even thinking about God's righteousness. But you see, a lot of times, the Lord can take people in our lives that we don't like, we don't care about, and for some reason, they show up. The Lord says, huh, deal with that. God's not mocked. You're going to reap exactly what you sow. And when anger resides in your heart, what do you think is going to happen? Yeah. You're going to do something major against. Well, so here's Haman. He sends for his friends. He sends for his wife. Look at 11. Then Haman recounted to them the glory of his riches. And the number of his sons, in every instance where the king had magnified him and how he had promoted him above the princes and the servants of the kings. Haman also said, even Esther the queen, let no one but me come with the king to the banquet which she had prepared, and tomorrow also I'm invited by her with the king. Oh, what's going on in the mind? All about him. But it's good. It's good. I hate that man over there, by the way, Mordecai. And I've plotted to kill all the Jews. But that's not the point. Let me tell you what the king really thinks of me. Let me tell you what Queen Esther thinks of me. Verse 13. Yet all of this does not satisfy me every time I see Mordecai the Jew sitting at the king's gate. Now, why are you so unhappy if everything's going so good? Learn a lesson. Whenever you have anger residing in your heart about some issue, and that stays with you, you can't find satisfaction. Everything in life is bad. Even if you're the number two in all the nation and you've been bestowed wealth and everything there. Well, knowing that, let's continue on. Look down at verse 14. Then Zeresh's wife and all of his friends said to him, have a gallows 50 cubits high made. And in the morning ask the king to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go joyfully, go joyfully with the king to the banquet. And the advice pleased Haman. So he made the gallows. I wonder why you're pleased with this idea. The man I hate the most is going to be hanged. This is a good plot, a good plan. I like it. So we're going to do something. Come over to Proverbs chapter 12. Look at verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are just, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. Verse 6. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the mouth of the upright will deliver them. What do you learn right quick? The counsel that you've been given, not a good counsel. I'm amazed how people don't seek wise counsel or righteous counsel. They just think in their head and they've got maybe issues with someone, you know. And so you may think you're doing the right thing. Well, what does the Lord have to say about that? The counsels of the wicked are deceitful, you know. And so they lie in wait for blood. You think, Lord, you're going to reap what you sow. It's coming back big time. Look at chapter 12 here. Look at verse 13. An evil man is ensnared by the transgression of his lips, but the righteous will escape from trouble. Evil man. Transgressions will ensnare you. By your own words. Don't ever forget that. That's why we have to seek the right elements, the right things. And so we're seeing this principle of reaping and sowing over and over and over. And no man or no woman is going to escape these principles. The wisdom that's here. Well, keep this mark. We'll be right back over in just a minute. Come back to Esther 6. Look at verse 1. During that night, the king could not sleep, so he gave an order to bring the books of the records, the chronicles, and they were read before the king. It was found written what Mordecai had reported concerning Bigthana, how you say it, and Teresh, to the king's eunuchs, who were doorkeepers, that they had sought to lay hands on King Ahasuerus. The king said, what honor or dignity has been bestowed on Mordecai for this? Then the king's servants who attended him said, nothing has been done for him. Oh, why would you think this came red at this time? You got the plots. You got Haman sticking his chest out. I've got it all. And now we have these books of Chronicles of the Kings written before him. What about Mordecai? He saved me. We need to do something for him. Look down at verse 5. The king's servant said to him, behold, Haman is standing in the court. And the king said, let him come in. Verse 6, so Haman came in, the king said to him, this is to be done for the man whom the king desires to honor? Or what is to be done, excuse me, for the man whom the king desires to honor? And Haman said to himself, who would the king desire to honor more than me? Oh my. I'm the one he's going to sneak up on me. He's going to honor me through all of this. Verse 7. Then Haman said to the king, for the man whom the king desires to honor, let them bring a royal robe which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, and on whose head a royal crown has been placed. Oh my, verse 9, and let the robe and the horse be handed over to one of the king's most noblest princes, and let them array that man by whom the king desires to honor and lead him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor. And what is he thinking? Ah! You're going to reap what you sow. You think that you're going to reside anger in your heart. You're going to plot. And you think it's not going to come back and haunt you in some way. And you think everything's fine and dandy. I'm fixing to get rid of my bitter enemy, this man that I hate. And the king's about to have me go through the city honored as the man. Hatred. Anger. Mouths will take you down every time. And don't think it won't. Don't ever think that you're above God. No, you will reap what you sow. God's going to see to it. Let's continue on. Come back over to Proverbs chapter 12. Look at verse 20. Deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil. The counselors of peace have joy. What resides in the heart of people who are deceitful? They can't be honest. That's a deceit. Deceit's in their heart. They plot. They think. You've been around a time in your life when you're wanting to better yourself or better a situation, and you think of a plot, and you're going to deceive people because you can overcome them and make them think it's this way and it's really not that way. I've done that. You're not getting away with anything. Well, we'll be back here in a minute. Come back over to chapter 6 of Esther. Look at verse 12. Then Mordecai, oh, there's my enemy. Mordecai returned to the king's gate. Excuse me, let me back up. Let me back up just a tad here. Verse 10. Then the king said to Haman, take quickly the robes and the horse as you have said, and do so for Mordecai the Jew, who is sitting at the king's gate. Do not fall short in anything of all that you have said. So Haman took the robe and the horse and arrayed Mordecai and led him to horseback through the city square and proclaimed before him, thus it shall be done to the man whom the king desires to honor. Can you imagine the disgust? You are now taken, the Jew slave, and you're having to proclaim, this is the man the king honors, and it's not me. Now, verse 12. Mordecai returned to the king's gate, but Haman hurried home mourning with his head covered. Oh, my goodness. What's a reaction? Whenever anger resides, whenever evil resides, whenever you plot to deceive and you plot to harm another person, and it all falls apart on you, what do you do? I mean, it's not good. I mean, he is gone home. He is mourning over all of this. And so, he talked about there in Proverbs 12:20, counselors give joy. If you're wanting to follow that. And so when people devise evil, guess what they never find? Joy. You know, you want to know why people are miserable? There's no joy in their life. Because they don't seek what's right. They're not speaking what is right. They're not slow to speak. They're quick to anger. And their anger is about everything. And so you don't find joy. Well, let's continue on. You know, look at verse 14. While they were still talking with him, the king's eunuchs arrived and hastily brought Haman to the banquet which Esther had prepared. Now he finally made it to her banquet. Chapter 7, verse 1. Now the king and Haman came to drink wine with Esther the queen. And the king said to Esther on the second day, also as they drank their wine at the banquet, what is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted to you, and what is your request? Even to half of the kingdom, it shall be done. Esther hadn't told him anything yet. And he keeps offering. Verse 3. Then Queen Esther replied, if I found favor in your sight, O king, and if it pleases the king, let my life be given me as my petition and my people as my request. What's her request? I'm going to give you my life. I'll lay my life on the line. If it pleases you. Is that a huge statement to make? What is she wanting? She's wanting righteousness. She wants the right thing done. And if it costs her her life, it costs her her life. But she's more concerned about doing what is right. Continue on. Verse 4. For we have been sold, I and my people, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Now, if we had only been sold as slaves, men and women, I would have remained silent, for the trouble would not be commensurate with the annoyance to the king. Commensurate, the big word, idea of being, if it was common. If you had just left the Jews as the slaves and let it be, but this thing has been, you know, gone sky high. And so I'm asking for my life too. I'm asking for my life. And I would never, ever, ever had this annoyance with a king. You see, we've been sold. Haman paid to kill us. Continue on. Verse 5. Then King Ahasuerus asked Queen Esther, who is he? Where is he? And who would presume to do this? Verse 6. I mean, we're about to deliver. Now let's stop for just a second before we get into 6. Come back to Proverbs 13. Listen, 15. Proverbs 15. Thinking about how Queen Esther responded to her husband king. Proverbs 15, look at verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise makes knowledge acceptable, but the mouth of fools spouts folly. What do you learn? Yeah, what you say matters. Yeah. How? Yeah. How you say things matters. It does. It matters. Go ahead, Chuck. Yes, absolutely. If you're concerned about the things of God, if you're concerned about the eternal, invisible principle, you'll reap what you sow, you better be slow to speak. Then guess what you better watch when you approach something or someone. You don't just turn around and tell them they're stupid. Harsh words stirs up wrath. Yes, sir, Ken? Sure. Sure.
But I also think, though, Brent, that sometimes you may not have to be angry at somebody, but I don't think you can walk around with kids' love. Sometimes, I guess for me it is, people have to not get in my face, but people have to once in a while grab me by the shoulder and kind of shake me and make me think and say things that they, and they love me, but I call it a forceful, tough love way.
Well, that may be how we view it, but guess what we just learned from the Proverbs? Gentle answers turns away wrath. And right. Eric said it a while ago. It's how you say things. Jesus, and you're using Jesus as the illustration, that was a righteous indignation for the way they were treating God. That was what that was. So, we need to keep that. We got to finish this out.
These types of righteous responses, we have to train ourselves up.
Yeah.
We can't just do it.
Right. We do have to train ourselves. You've got to know what righteousness is. Instead of just spouting off your own fleshly desire because you're upset, you got to get control of your tongue and what you say. Let's get back to Esther here and let's finish this out in the next few moments. Verse 6. Now Esther, our king wants to know who's the one's done this. Verse 6. Esther said, a foe and an enemy is this wicked Haman. Then Haman became terrified before the king and queen. Whoa! You better be, because Esther calls him. He's wicked. He is wicked. And he's an enemy. That's who he is. Verse 7. The king arose in his anger from drinking wine and went into the palace garden. But when Haman stayed to beg for his life from Queen Esther, for he saw the harm had been determined against him by the king. Now he's starting to beg for his life from Queen Esther. She's the one who set all this up. Verse 8. Now when the king returned from the palace garden into the place where they were drinking wine, Haman was falling on the couch where Esther was. But that's not a real smart thing to be doing when your life is on the line. And now, because you're not supposed to be anywhere in proximity to the queen, especially touching her. And now she's on this couch, whatever it is, this royal couch, and he's over there flaunting himself on this couch right by her, the middle of verse 8. Then the king said, will he even assault the queen with me in this house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Covering his face, that's the sign you die. You're going to die. And he thinks he's pleading. And yet, fleshliness, ignorance, the way you say things, it is all came back right here. Verse 9. Then Harbona, one of the eunuchs who were before the king, said, behold indeed, the gallows standing in Haman's house, 50 cubits high, which Haman had made for Mordecai, who spoke good on behalf of the king. And the king said, hang him on it. So they hanged Haman on the gallows, which he had prepared for Mordecai. And the king's anger subsided. Righteousness upholds you, and God rescues and lets the evil take the place of the righteous. Think about that one. God's word is true. God's word stands firm. And I was going to end with a few more Proverbs here to show you this play out, but we don't have time tonight. But I'm telling you, we need to be a people that need to be concerned with the righteousness of God. We need to put His righteousness in our hearts. We need to watch our mouths, what we say, and how we say it. Chapter 8, next week.